As you exit the mist-filled door, you head out into the wide desert. It's like you're no longer near the Temple of the Eclipse. You're on this kind of dune outside of it. And you look up and you're looking to see that purple sky, but it's no longer purple. It's a crystal clear blue. And the eclipse is no longer happening. The sun is now kind of moving in its own orbit, and the moon seems to be moving in its orbit as well.
We did it. We defeated the moon.
Now you guys are in the desert. What do you guys do?
Wait, who's holding the jewel?
Harold. Dibs.
Now, Harold, you're not good at... The items usually get lost.
Whoops! One of them butterfingers dropped him into the bag.
Whoa, this jewel is very slippery, boys. I'd keep a firm grip on it. Well,
it falls into a punji pit.
Make a dexterity check.
Oh man, I just opened up my character sheet and I have one hit point.
Yeah.
That is a 19 on the dexterity check.
Okay, yeah, you hold firm on that star child corpse.
Okay.
We'll call it the Jewel of Desert from now on. So... what would you like to do? I'm going to give you a handful of options.
Demon.
You want to get to the demon.
Harold wants to experience that power again.
Jeez.
Boys, this jewel, there's something special about it. I never felt more powerful, more virile, more youthful. I need it.
Little Patrick walks up to you and hands you a syringe.
Jeez. Patrick, no.
Patrick, whoa.
Who the fuck is... Oh, the plant?
Yeah, my plant with robotic legs.
Right, I was like, who the fuck is Patrick?
You can walk
now.
Ah,
yes, Patrick, my young ward, who's been here the whole time. Thank you. Is this what I think it is, Patrick?
It doesn't really do anything. It doesn't have like...
I jab myself immediately with the syringe.
Okay.
Is the syringe full of something?
Nope.
Oh.
How much damage does that do? You take a damage.
Okay. So I just have this... I don't think I would stab myself if I knew it was empty.
Yeah. Harold's not an idiot. Is there any left in that jewel?
Like I described last time, there seems to be like a small amount, like a small glow within the center of it.
Now, Harold, we all saw what happened to that thirsty man.
You don't want to become thirsty, do you?
You'll become thirsty. The youth will get to you.
Unlike him, I'll just have a beverage.
If only it were that easy.
I'm assuming it was. He was just stubborn.
I suspect not, Harold.
But boys, if I fill myself with this power, I can run us home in no time flat.
That doesn't sound too bad.
And Max and Garrett, you saw how powerful that made me, an old man. Imagine, just imagine what it could do for you.
I feel like you're starting to covet the ring at this point.
this is really Harold going off onto a power hunger situation.
Harold has lived such a bland, banal life. He's never experienced anything like power. He's never had it. He's
got a powerful bag of stuff.
Nothing in this bag compares
You drew guns earlier.
That's pretty strong.
While you guys are power-hungry, having this conversation, you see Riggles pulling that boat around and people chasing after him out in the desert.
Oh.
He's still got that illusion atop.
Well, maybe we should go help Riggles out. He's done his job. And then we can see what prizes we got.
Yes. What Riggles has collected for us.
Riggles begins to turn and head your direction. There's still a small group of people chasing after him.
Hmm. Boys, get your guns.
Oh, yeah. I got mine ready.
Stop, in the name of the law.
As they begin to approach, they all seem to trip on this one large punji pit. they all fall down into it.
That's filled with spikes, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that is the one with spikes. That's the one with Blobby's acid.
That's... Sorry, that was the killing one.
We cracked Blobby like an egg. Poured out his acid.
All right, so Briggles is now sitting before you. What do you guys want to do? You could use him to get out of the desert, but you also promised to take him to a group of worms.
We did promise Riggles that. I think, do we feel any pressure from our Gyasas or anything like that?
Like,
from your Gyasas?
There's definitely a pressure still in your head.
Max, are you feeling that pressure?
What? Oh, Max. Oh, the pressure's intensified. Max, how are you handling it? You look like it doesn't even bother you at all.
Oh, no, I got a real headache. Oh. Yep.
You surely have a high tolerance for pain, Max.
Yeah, it definitely feels as though there's still a sense of urgency, but it seems like you could probably make a detour.
But we didn't feel any pressure because we lured a lot of people in the traps, right?
I mean, that's really on your character at this point.
Actually, that's on you. We didn't intentionally, we just called the worm over.
You're the one who opened the punji pit there.
Yeah, you put the punji pit.
Yeah, the murder one.
We never said we put it this far out into the desert. That's some other person's punji pit.
Garrett was gone for a long time.
I used my whole 8 hours on that.
Yeah. Burying in a lot of punji pits.
Do you know how many punji pits you could probably dig in 8 hours? One.
Yeah.
One was good.
I was gonna say Garrett's really good at digging punji pits though. Yeah.
He's got a lot of practice.
Like, you remember how I did it, right?
He's got the tree powers.
Yeah, he could use the tree powers to like
plant
create
seeds.
A tree and then move it.
Recreate a tree and then remove it. Yeah, that's an efficient way to dig a hole right there.
It is if you have tree powers.
Hole digging 101.
First, you build a tree.
Then remove the tree.
Its root structure will naturally displace the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is remove the tree.
Easy.
Bing, bang, boom, you got yourself a punji pit.
Mm-hmm. Just leave some of the roots down there and sharpen them up a bit.
I guess we'll go look in the punji pit just to see, like, oh, goodness, what happened there? Where did the hole in the desert come from?
You see below you a kind of, not super grisly scene. Mm. There's only a few injured people. Dave is among them, kind of still somehow dancing.
No.
I'm just picturing the fall damage that Max took last time, and... If they take the same fall damage Max took, there's no way they lived.
Especially on spikes.
The people on the bottom probably crushed, you know, they softened the blow for the people who fell.
Oh, yeah.
Second,
there's like
that's
a pile.
True. Yeah. Yeah. The question is who fell last?
Yeah.
Dave fell last.
Who was stupid enough? Who was stupid enough after seeing their friends fall in a punji pit to keep running into a punji pit?
Well, it seemed like it was designed to hold exactly this amount of weight.
This was designed specifically for this number of people, so they all die.
Each person is perfectly placed on their own individual spike.
Except Dave. I didn't leave a spike for Dave.
Except Dave, who's split between two spikes.
It's a battle buddy's bus, Dave.
Yeah, no, everybody seems to be dead? Mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Yeah.
Oof. I just want a funny gag.
I don't have any heathen spells, so I'm just a wizard. Should I put them out of the misery?
Yes, mercy. Show mercy, Max.
Yes. Fill this hole up, Max.
It's our only option.
Hide the evidence, Max.
Well, I was just going to cast Fireball in there, but I can't do that because I'm not high enough level.
Well, you can just individually Ray of Frost each of them or whatever.
What the hell happened here?
Sorry, Dave. None of us are very good with medicine. Our best recourse is just to kill you all to keep you from suffering.
It's fine. It's the life of a life of a researcher. Life of a scholar.
Just comes with the territory. If this was the first bungee pit I fell into, I wouldn't be a very good scholar, would I?
Sometimes you die for what you love.
Dave still seems alive. The rest seem mostly injured.
Not after that ray of frost.
So are you just mercy killing these guys?
Can we just skip this scene? Can we just say really... like I don't want to talk to Dave anymore.
Yeah, I feel bad.
It's up to like the audience to guess if there were spikes or not down there.
Yeah, we could just, they fell in the hole and it's like, all right, Wriggle, let's get you home.
Those bad men are no longer chasing you.
Okay, so you know that a group of worms is called a clue, so you need to get a clue in order to get him home.
I'm glad all three of us know that very specific thing.
Yeah. I did not know that.
So I'm saying that.
the clouds part and the voice of God.
I rolled an intelligence check and I got a 3, so I don't think I know it.
I'm going to roll an intelligence check.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge the DM on this one.
Okay, let's see if you guys know.
Yeah, Jet, I don't think I know what a clue is. You can't just give us very specific worm knowledge.
Right. I got a 5.
Yep.
All right. So you don't know what a group of worms is called.
That is possibly the least relevant information you could possibly need. We could just say we're looking for a group of worms. We don't need to know the specific term.
I think we need to find a clue to the group of worms.
Yes. Well, yes, some clue to how to find
if only there's a way to describe a group of worms.
If only there was a word for a group of worms, we have to find some sort of clues to this.
No one will know what we're talking about.
This conversation has given me a brilliant idea as to what to call a group of worms.
What is
call it?
Mm-hmm.
A roop?
We have to get a roop.
A roop, yes.
A roop a of rope. Worms.
We got to get a whole rope of worms.
Because they're long and thin. Like a rope.
So we can kind of do this kind of truncated to find them. You guys can roll a series of...
Look over there. Worms.
Oh, the scholar's dead bodies attracted the worms.
Worms on the way that bungee pit pulled them here.
You can roll a nature check to find them.
If it's as good as our intelligence checks, we're all going to die.
Yep, that's a 7 on my part.
All right.
Garrett, I think Garrett has good nature.
I would assume he's a tree man.
He wasn't a tree man in the beginning.
Yeah.
He is a ranger, though.
Rangers are also tree people.
15.
Oh, yeah.
I rolled a 17.
Okay. Between Harold and Garrett, seem to find worm tracks.
Look, worm footprints.
Are you sure those aren't Wriggles?
Oh, good point.
We've just been going in a circle.
That there are signs of a clue of worms nearby. You do know that it's probably pretty dangerous to go into that territory if you're not specifically a worm.
Why?
Well,
is that what I know with my nature check? Boys, I've read
books about this specific region for Wormkin?
Well, it's more mostly that they worms kind of are ambush predators. So if you were to walk into their territory...
If we were to walk in, we would surely die. However, if we were to slither...
Pretend to be a worm.
We must pretend to be a worm, boys.
I don't like where this is going.
Follow my lead. Take your clothes off.
Worms don't wear clothes.
Worms are naked.
The other option would be...
We're already doing
option
it.
Option one.
The other option would be basically let Riggles loose. Just see what happens if you send Riggles in there.
I'm going with the naked worms route.
Yeah, the naked worms route is a pretty good option.
So you guys are getting naked and you're slithering your way up the hill.
Come on, Max.
Max is very hesitant.
You see sand begin to shift underneath you.
I don't like this.
Max, are you below me?
Are you between us?
And the sand below you begins to kind of begin to sink lower. And to your right and to your left, you start to see appearing is sharp, spiny teeth.
This isn't this like Max's greatest nightmare?
Yeah, this is Max's. Oh, I described shit. This in the episodes. So yeah, Max is gonna bail on this one, I think. Max is gonna stay with the boat.
Do you keep moving or what are you guys doing?
Max is gonna misty step away if these things get too close.
I don't know what to do. It sounds like we're gonna die.
What's the kiosk telling me to do?
Can we roll a deception check on these worms to convince them that we're worms? That was the whole point of getting naked and slithering on the ground.
Yeah, does it look like it's going to eat Riggles, or is it trying to eat us?
Yeah, what's... Because as far as they're concerned, we should appear to be worms to them.
So one thing you learned from your nature check on how they see, it's more like tremor sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They sense things moving on the surface of the sand as likely prey, and the things moving underneath the sand as likely relatives.
Yeah, no, I knew that. That was my nature check.
Guys, I can see your whole butts. Try hiding your butts.
Lower the butt.
We dig underground a little bit.
Okay. They seem to... The jaws seem to kind of settle back down into the sand. It's no longer surrounding you, but it's definitely like it submerged itself a little.
Cool.
You have the ability to speak with animals as an option to kind of communicate to them.
How does Riggle respond? Like, Riggle surely must sense other worms.
Riggle just turns and eats us.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
He's trying to, like, go into the ground, but he still has a boat attached to him.
Oh, we detached the boat, obviously. Why would the boat... The boat would not still be attached.
Okay. So, if the boat's not attached, he submerges himself in the ground and kind of moves over to that larger worm that's underneath you and kind of pops his head up near you guys.
And we recognize it as Riggle?
I don't know if you would, but as it pops its head up, the sand beneath you kind of shifts. And around to the side, a much larger worm pops its head up and is kind of looking at the other worm.
Well, that was easy.
So, yeah, you drop him off.
Are you happy, Riggles?
He goes beneath the sand with the other bigger worm.
Oh, goodbye, Riggles. I hope you find joy in your new life with your new family.
And I slither off.
I do the worm.
We're just like humping the ground.
You, the sand kind of bursts. Riggle's head appears and it kind of nuzzles you and then goes back down.
Oh God, that is really cute and also super horrifying.
This is both cute and terrifying, Riggles.
And that's the end of that scene.
So are we just walking through the desert? We're gonna die.
For the most part, it seems like the desert is less harsh than it was prior. Like, it feels like there are less impediments, but it also is like the sun seems less hot, the environment seems less hostile.
So it takes us slightly longer to die.
Did we solve climate change?
We fixed the environment.
If we could just get our scientists in this world to kill the demon
kill the demon that's trying to control the moon.
You have to get rid of eclipses.
So you guys can do a survival check.
Oh no.
I got a nat 20.
I got a 19.
I'm not even gonna roll.
Max, you find exactly everything you need.
Yeah, I was looking through my spell list here to see if there was I was trying to see if there was literally any wizard spells that could help me in this situation, and I don't think there are.
Max, I have more experience in this area. All that's garbage you collected.
There is a spell, and somehow you managed to stumble upon
summon sand yacht.
Move boat.
Create food and water.
Yeah, but that's like a cleric spell, isn't it? I don't think wizards can cast that spell.
You find a tome that has many copies of that spell.
Oh, where? He was rifling through Dave's stuff in the punchy pit.
Dave and Blobby. I found this book and some of Blobby's things.
Are these the keys to Dave's sand yacht?
Dave's sand yacht, which is full of food.
It's fully stored.
So you have survival taken care of.
Cool. We got food and water. Good.
I kind of just want the sand yacht at this point.
Is there any anything that you have that creates like an illusionary steed or anything like that? Mm-mm. Well, you're hoofing it.
I mean, hold on. We're not this fucking stupid, all right? How close are we to the Temple of the Eclipse?
It's about a day's walk.
How'd that happen? We took a day by boat.
Yeah, more than a day's walk.
Jesus Christ. Richard, why'd you ask? God damn it, Richard.
I just want consistency.
Richard's how is it that close? But I was thinking, it took us a fucking week by boat to get to that goddamn temple.
Yeah.
That means it'll take us like a month on foot. What we should do?
It's gonna take Lord of the Rings time.
Yeah, we don't have 3 9-hour movies worth of time to do this. Let's go back to the Temple of the Eclipse. Dave and the others got there somehow. Surely there's a sand yacht or something we can steal. They're all dead in a punji pit anyway. Yeah, they're not gonna need it.
I do recall seeing one parked out there.
So you make it back there. You guys get your raft and you begin to head back to the city of Chulk. And for the most part, it's going to be pretty uneventful until about 2 days in.
What's the deal with this raft? Is it being pulled by something, or is it some sort of mechanism is running it?
It seems to have some sort of like boiler system, like it's pushing sand back behind it like a propeller, but
cool.
It's more like an energy system.
You can just say jet ski.
Sandski.
Sandski.
It's got kind of a Sandski quality to it. But after about a couple of days, 2 days and a half, somewhere in that period, you come upon what looks to be several bodies of purple wraiths.
Whoa.
On the third day of travel back, you run into kind of a grisly scene of another set of purple wraiths and what looks to be a glass ball.
Some sort of purple wraith murderer on the loose.
We gotta bring him to justice.
Those poor wraiths.
Those poor purple wraiths. They're innocent.
They're no longer controlled by the spooky moon man.
Now that they have their freedom, someone's slaughtering them.
Yes.
And the battle buddies fight for justice.
We've got a new mission, boys.
That's definitely what we fight for.
Bring this murderer to justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull out a knife that has justice written on it.
Yeah, that works.
Glass ball, show yourself.
Or no, wait, not a knife. It's a gun.
Gun. You jump down to investigate the scene, or are you just going to zoom on past it?
Hands up, you glass fiend.
We're going to give you 3 seconds.
My hands aren't working anymore. Ah.
Oh, shit. Back to the boat, boys.
Hold on a second. I recognize that voice.
That's Morty.
It's Blabby.
It's the guy Max killed.
I'm so happy you guys came back for me, though. Yes. I had to fight all these purple rays. It was not a great sight.
Boys, I'm awful parched. I could go for some Mountain Dew. Do we care about Blobby? Do we want to save him? I mean,
not really.
I feel like there were the, you know,
put him in the lost and found, maybe.
Yeah, I'll put him in my bag.
I suppose we should at least get him back to some sort of society. Harold, what do you think?
Well, my only concern is that he's a pretty big ball and there's not a lot of room on the jet ski.
He might fall off at any point.
You know, maybe if one of you two crawls into my bag, we can open up space for Blobby on the boat.
This is the second time you've tried to lure me in your bag. What is in there?
Always trying to lure people into the bag. What if we just put Blobby in there?
Oh, that works too. Sure. All right, Blobby.
All right, Blobby. You're going on a trip?
Where am I going?
I'm going to tie a rope around Blobby, just so we don't lose track of him in the bag.
Yeah. Label the rope Blobby.
There's a few ropes sticking out of my bag.
They all look very old and forgotten.
One says Derek, one says Suzanne.
Oh, the label washed off on this one. I can't remember.
I have no clue who this one belongs to.
Marjorie.
Marjorie. And, Blobby, don't worry, we'll get you home nice and safe. And I toss him in my bag.
Is what you hear.
He's having fun.
See? He enjoys it.
When I open the bag, you just hear screaming. God damn it. This is me trying to say Harold is in the bag.
After traveling for another few days, you eventually find yourself back in Shoal. Basically, fairly uneventful travel back. You even managed to make it past the fear scorpions.
Does Max still have purple eyes? And
actually, no. As you're looking around, nobody seems to have purple eyes anymore.
Is Garrett still a tree person?
I'm cured.
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
So, the city of Cholk looks remarkably different than what it used to be. Like, there seems to be a lot of battle damage. Carts and stuff are torn open. Stuff is strewn about. It seems like there was a massive fight here.
If only Blobby had been here.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like there's still people moving about. It doesn't seem like it's been completely decimated, but it's definitely not the place it was when you left. Is there anything you want to do or see here?
Slappy Joe?
Slappy Joe.
Slappy Joe. We could say hi to Slappy Joe.
Last time you saw Slappy Joe, it was when you were in his larder.
Oh, yeah. I'm worried. I am a little worried about Slappy Joe.
I'd be worried.
I think he may have died.
The purple rays were, like, attacking actively. Yeah.
As soon as Garrett says Slappy Joe, Harold's eyes go wide. And he's like, oh no, Slappy Joe! And I rush off to Slappy Joe's.
As you head to Slappy Joe's, you run into the door.
Ow!
You run through the door.
Ow. That thing was deadbolted.
God damn it.
In Slappy Joe's beer torm, it looks like the place has been wrecked. It's been destroyed. Oh. Pretty much everything has been turned over.
Must have had a rowdy crowd.
That Don Rivers concert.
Did a clue of worms come through here?
There doesn't appear to be any sign of Slappy Joe.
Oh, shit.
Are there any, like, purple wraith corpses or anything? Or?
Harold starts singing, Slappy Joe, are you okay?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, there he is.
Sleeping in the back. It's been a rough week.
We didn't check the back.
Why didn't we check the back? That's the first place we would have checked.
Last place we saw him, too.
Oh, Slappy Joe, I'm so glad to see you're okay. What happened here? How did you fend off all the raves?
It was a magical thing. He was carrying me away, and then suddenly it became a bright white crystal color, and he dropped me and walked off into the desert.
What?
I missed the first part of that. What?
He turned into a white crystal?
The purple wraith turned into a white crystal?
Who did what?
That Blobby killed him?
He describes it as the purple wraith suddenly became a different color and let him loose.
That was us. We did that.
They became good crystals.
You owe us a life debt.
Life debts all around.
Well, if it was you, I appreciate it. And it's great to see you again, Harold. Would you like a beer?
Yes.
Ooh.
Now we're talking. Let's get this off the rails.
Say no to a beer, Slappy Joe.
I'll trade the life debt for a lifetime of beers.
For a Miller Lite.
Just one beer would be fine.
Yes, that seems fair.
That seems like a fair deal.
Seems what your life is worth.
Damn.
You hand you all a few beers, and you kind of spend an evening hanging out with Slappy Joe.
We pull Blobby out of the bag.
You put him down, you give him a beer next to you.
Pour the beer in Blobby.
We pour a beer into Blobby.
Mix it up.
Yeah, we open his tank and pour a beer in. Does he get drunk?
No.
Oh.
Does acid consume the beer? How does it work?
It's kind of like a film on top. Unfortunately, the acid is thicker than the beer, so...
What's that called? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called science.
Science.
Science happens, dog.
Layers.
Fucking layers up in this Blobby.
Let's pour more stuff into him.
Yes.
Let's fill him up.
We can make one of those little sand pictures.
So you guys have a good time.
Filling Blobby up with various liquids.
Pouring liquids into Blobby.
You basically, this is the first time you got to relax until about maybe like an hour or so in, and Garrett and Harold, your head begins to hurt extremely bad.
Oh
God, Max, do you feel that?
Oh, the pain. For anyone with ischias in their brain, this must be excruciating.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding, it doesn't hurt at all. Garrett and I were trying to trick you, Max.
We knew what you were up to, Max.
Yes. We know your secret. You have a high pain tolerance.
It's true, you saw me fall from that ceiling earlier.
Yes.
So, what do you guys do?
Well, we take a few shots and dull the pain.
Shots all around.
Shots all around.
Everybody.
We're gonna put a little bit of Blobby in each shot.
If your name's not Blobby, no. Then get the fuck out.
So, as you guys are drinking, you begin to have like burn marks all the way up your shoulders.
More shots.
Max, you feel that?
Ow. Oh, yeah.
Max, how are you suppressing the burn marks?
Ow, these burn marks.
He's like giving himself burns.
Has a lighter over there.
Does the Gias give us any information? Like, is it punishing us for drinking or just for not being on our way? Or is it a time thing? Because we're going to die.
So it doesn't seem to...
Why can't you let us have fun, Jet? That's basically what I'm getting at.
Let me have fun.
It started after you were taking time to revel and just have like a good time.
This is a sadistic
yes. So, yeah, as long as we like tone it down a little bit, like
It seems like it is really just trying to prompt you to get a mosey on down the road.
Oh, you guys are taking an hour to yourselves? Time's up. Break's over.
You want to interact with these NPCs? Flush them out a little bit? No.
Jet's punishing us for trying to get him to sing and do Blobby's voice.
Blobby's voice. He's punishing us for drinking Blobby.
We didn't drink him, did you?
Just a little bit.
Harold drank a bit of Blobby.
All right, I did too, a little bit, but...
Okay. Take it 4 of acid damage.
That's a true suicide right there.
Does Blobby's personality change at all if we drink him?
You know?
Or drinking parts of his... aspects of his personality.
You take 1 damage and you feel more cowardly.
Oh no.
Oh, no. I was hoping to get the wraith killing ability.
Boys, I'm not sure we should make a deal with that demon.
Demons are scary.
You have kind of a lot of more greed in your heart for a brief moment.
I think we should make that deal with that demon. What about Max? What character trait did he get?
Did Max drink it as well?
Oh yeah. He did it first.
Max did not drink the acid. No.
He drank the most.
He drank alcohol. He would not drink any of Blobby.
I switched
well,
it.
Well, we put some.
If you guys switched it, then that's fine.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I told you it was a Mountain Dew cocktail.
It's just Mountain Dew.
That's a 5.
Put it on the counter, and some of the counter gets dissolved.
Jesus.
Happy Joe gets kind of mad at you.
More about his counter than Blobby.
Slappy Joe, what have you been giving us to drink?
That wasn't me.
That's what you say.
All right. We got to go make that deal, guys. Enough messing around.
Yes, I think our best course of action is to go buy some new sun hats.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Find our horses and be on our way.
Never come back to this town again.
And pawn this gold sword.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You can kind of roll through all of that. Get your hats.
We trade the sword for 3 sun hats.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you trade the sword for 3 beautiful horse sun hats.
3 new horse sun hats.
Your horses are doing great. And they're ready to take you on down the road.
That's the nicest thing that's happened in this campaign.
That really is.
You come upon a grisly scene of your horse.
Your horse is in a bungee pit.
You left them with a terrible man.
Garrett, did you build a goddamn bungee pit at horse daycare?
I did it so they could jump over it. Practice.
God.
Anyway, your horses are great. They're doing well. They're happy. They got stylish new sun hats.
I think we get on our horses.
Yeah.
And ride off into the sunset.
You ride off into the sunset towards the library. After a couple weeks of travel, you make it to the abandoned town. And
before you guys is the library you've seen so many times by now. It's that library that's haunted your dreams, that has filled you with pain, and now you finally reached it with the jewel of the desert in tow.
You're going to have to be more specific. Harold's had a lot of library nightmares in his life.
Oh, the most recent one. The one you've had
That is not this one.
Oh, yeah. Well then, fair enough. So there's a door in front of you.
Is it the library?
There's a couple of windows on either side. There's a little sign that next to it holds up by some books that says library. What do you guys do? You want to investigate around it? Or are you just going straight in to turn in the jewel and be done with this? Or what do you guys do?
So in that indeterminate amount of time that we were traveling, I would imagine we were also planning our library raid to get in and free the demon. Am I correct, boys? Does that sound right?
We practiced it hundreds of times in our dreams.
We practiced it over and over. It actually took us longer to get back because we built a little staging area. The the same layout as the library.
I like this, but largely because Max still hasn't ever gotten through his dream barrier, so he's only aware of what you guys mentioned in real life.
We tried every night to pull him into it, and he just failed every
time. Yeah, he fails every time.
Now, Max, you're the critical part of this plan.
He only knows about 20% of the plan.
At this point, he's no longer having library dreams. Ever since he got the Geass purged.
Oh, yeah, my Geass was removed.
Oh, so that does make it harder to have those dreams then. Max, did you have that dream? Did you finally see it, Max? And he's had to lie this whole time.
Max is just lying every day.
Probably just like, yeah, I saw it, guys. Mm-hmm. I know the demon.
Yeah, totally. Seems cool. The training regimen went really well last time, I thought.
You know, if we... do you think we freed the demon in our dreams during those 2 weeks?
Every time.
Every time?
Probably, but yeah.
Flawless at this point.
So we probably... he knows it's happening. He's part of the raid plan. He's got a role to play, I'm sure.
I mean, he wants you to free him. Is something he's expressed.
Yeah, but I mean, we would have spoken specifically to him about our raid plan. Yeah.
He knows we're coming.
He knows that it's coming, but I'm not sure he knows where he'll be in the library because he's in the book.
But even still, I draw up a fourth gun to hand to him for when we free him.
Okay.
So yeah. We all have our guns.
We all have your guns equipped.
Do we really want to do the guns thing?
I like the idea of having him, but it all fucking up because Max doesn't know his role.
Also, I like the guns because they're, like, really badly drawn. The badly drawn guns makes it for me.
It really just does it for me.
But we can abandon the guns if you don't like it.
No, I wanted to get a general sense of how everyone else felt. All right, boys. We have our weapons, we know our roles. I say it's time to breach.
Now, Max, you know your role, right?
Yes. I'll be going through the front door.
And?
That's exactly correct.
And?
Don't challenge the boy. All right. Making him nervous. It's his first breach.
Okay.
Stressful situation. I'm going to go up to the front door.
Now, act like you're a delivery man.
Put on the outfit, Max.
I have my gun up one of my sleeves, and I go up and I knock on the door.
We all have forearm wrist launchers for our guns to shoot out of our sleeves.
As you come and knock on the door just kind of slides open by that little bit of pressure. So it like opens, and as the door is kind of opening... the library looks similar to how it was in your dream, but different. Like, some of the things are in different positions.
Something's gone terribly wrong.
It's not the same, abort.
The elaborate kind of scroll work on this royalish library actually looks more run down. It looks like there's some etching on the sides that say FR on a few of them. So, yeah, it just doesn't feel quite the same as it did in your dream.
Garrett walks behind Max. He's like, oh, turns out the window's locked in this world.
Harold shows up behind. He's like, turns out I can't punch through the walls in this world. Looks like it's the front door for all of us.
Librarian, do we have a delivery for you?
Yes, one moment.
Delivery for librarian.
I'll be there in a moment. Are you guys like out in the front of the library, or are you gonna guys go exploring the library at all?
Imagining they're like both kind of like hiding behind me because
we're perfectly hidden behind a silhouette, so she won't see us when she comes to get her package.
Okay, roll stealth checks.
Not that perfectly hidden.
Yeah, definitely not that perfectly hidden. 7.
Ooh.
7 is not very high. You could be much higher, least stealth than that.
There's definitely much more room for stealth.
But I couldn't be much lower, though.
Harold rolled a 17.
Dang.
I think in large part due to all the practice they've done. Like, this was always plan B if he couldn't bust through the wall.
Couldn't punch through the wall.
You're pretty well hidden between Garrett and Max. Like, Max is pretty visible, and Garrett's pretty visible, but you managed to find the right amount of shadow between the two of you to be pretty well hidden.
Garrett, just pretend you're a tree.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, Max.
Have you guys crossed the threshold into the library, or are you still kind of standing door?
I'm just standing at the door at this point.
You putting it that way makes me not want to cross that threshold.
That's fair. I was just asking.
It's like reverse vampires.
Yeah. I got 1 foot out the door, and I am pretending I'm a tree, like part of the delivery for the library.
He's got one part of his root structure out the door.
After about a few minutes, that old woman that you've seen before with the scar on her face, the librarian, she kind of comes shuffling out from behind like a stack of books. But as she does, each step she sort of takes, a light kind of appears behind her. Like that's similar to that radiant light that you've seen surrounding the Geass in your dreams. And with each step, she slowly becomes taller, more kind of built as a person. Her skin goes from like a pale, kind of wrinkly old to like a greenish hued, kind of more less wrinkly or no wrinkles at all, kind of smooth skin, younger lady. She grows little fangs and she appears to be
vampire.
An orc.
Reverse vampire.
The threshold, no.
Don't cross the threshold.
She appears to be an orc woman with...
An orc vampire.
She still has that tome, kind of that large book, but it's strapped to her back. And she still has that burn scar across her face. And she goes, come on in.
I extend the package. Delivery for, well,
give me the jewel. Come on,
it's in this box.
Yes, you come take it and then we'll be on our way.
Do you think this little ruse is gonna do anything?
Yes,
depends on how high an insight check she's
doing. Yeah,
she notices everybody.
Damn. Whoa,
even Mike?
Even Mike. You can't hide from me, Mike.
He was the guy we set up the chimney. We hired him in a neighboring village.
The classic Santa Claus stratagem.
I guess it's fairly rude. I have never really introduced myself. You've known me as the librarian.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've seen me in that older form.
Well, suspicious to not get a name.
That's true. It was. I mean, I could not let you, or the people you work for, or the people who founded your guild, to know who I truly was.
Is the tome she's holding, is that where our demon lord is?
It is a book bound in chains, strapped to her back.
But is that the assumption that we'd make? We've seen this book a lot.
Yeah, it is the same book that she pulled out in the dream where she showed you the picture of the Jewel of the Desert.
All right, I signal for Mike to grab the book.
Signal Bolty to cut the book.
You realize that Mike was a dream person.
What? Can we not have actually hired a person to help us with this?
Are you wanting to have a person hired to do this?
We have a lot of money. Like, what else are we going to use it for? Then
okay, you found a man named Mike. let me get an NPC. You hear a thud behind.
We practiced. We trained.
Come on,
as
Mike.
You notice that the chimney doesn't really fit the proportions of a full man. And
he's a boy.
Michael.
All you see are the legs of a man dangling down the chimney.
Okay, how did Jeremy do? He's back there somewhere too.
Okay. Let me roll another one.
Well, Santa Claus seems to have gotten stuck. Ma'am.
Jeremy did worse as he rolled a natural one.
Is Felicity okay?
Jeremy jumps through the window and is just cut to ribbons. He is not.
Yeah, that's a lot more dangerous than you think.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't do it.
Okay, I'll give you one more random hireling.
Yeah, Felicity.
Felicity. She rolled a 3. Okay,
that's pretty good.
Can we roll for them?
Yeah.
I like your roll.
I'm sorry. Like, it was...
She was plus 10,
it's fine.
It was 6-1-3 was my rolls. And
well, damn, boys, that cost us all our gold.
I love the imagery of us, like, waiting for these people to help us out. And then, like, one by one, they get stuck or, like, die immediately. It's very good.
Felicity seems to, like, trip on a magical ward, and she just goes up in flames.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Maybe we just give her the jewel, boys.
Seems that you have some unrelated robbers, ma'am. This might be a bad time for us to be here. I believe we should just drop off this jewel and be on our way.
I believe this is a bad neighborhood you've set up shop in, madam.
I get people trying to come in here all the time. This place is a fortress.
People love books.
Trying to return their overdue library.
Desperate to return their overdue library books.
Like I said, it would be nice to formally introduce myself. My name is Mesa Farreach. And she kind of bows to you.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Who does she bow to?
Oh, you jerk. Okay, calling this back. She bows to, who's in front? It would be Max.
Yep.
Yeah. She bows to Max, stands back up. I am the sister of one of your guild's founders.
Well, why didn't you say so? That completely changes everything.
Yes.
What does it change?
Well, obviously that means that this was a guild-sanctioned quest, not some random person who was imprisoning our demon lord.
Your demon what?
Oh, never mind.
Listen, you do know how dangerous those demons are, right? You must have seen what a demon can do in your travels.
I mean, Max encountered a pretty cool demon.
Yeah. Max kind of looks at his pitcher plant's very nice metal pot. He's like, yes. Very dangerous.
I mean, that Eclipse fellow was a little bit bad, I would say, but they can't all be bad eggs.
One bad apple doesn't spoil the whole batch.
Exactly. My thoughts. Exactly.
Do you know much about your Mr. Farreach, Crag, my brother? Your guild's founder.
Only that he was a great, great man.
He's a terrible man.
What?
That's not what they taught us.
It's so great hearing that from Jet for once.
he finally admits it.
Yeah.
But he is still my little brother, and I'm trying very hard to keep him.
I really thought she and Crag were super close.
They are. But she knows... Crag has done a lot of horrible shit that she doesn't really approve of.
And he's in a pact with the demon that tried to kill her?
Yeah, basically.
Burned down all those kids?
And then he burnt down a house full of children and, you know.
Yeah.
You may have heard of his deeds in
season one.
She knows basically everything Crag's done since leaving Farreach Manor.
Oh, she's a creep. Dude, a wizard would be such a scary stalker.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow. That's actually an interesting kind of thought. That's super creepy. I'm invisible.
Gonna write that one down.
Well, also, they've got, like, their fucking palantirs and shit. They can just look at you like, oh, your favorite food is macaroni and cheese. Well, I know what I'll be showing up with to your birthday party.
Oh, God. That's so weird. Anyway,
oh, you like horses? Well, I don't know what I'll be disguising myself as the next time you're in the meadow.
She's still standing there, like, kind of a ways away. She's, like, 40 or 50 feet into the library at that table that you first met her at. If you'd like, I can go into more detail about my brother and why you can't ever let him get a hold of that jewel.
Are you implying that our guild is bad?
Not necessarily.
I'm confused. He's one of our glorious founders. He is the only reason we four have jobs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have an evil employer. That's not necessarily.
Not us.
Not super common.
I would never work for evil, ma'am.
No, now free that demon.
Think of all the jobs he's created.
just think of all the jobs he's made. That can't be evil.
He's stimulated the economy, putting food in children's mouths.
They're paying people in jelly beans. You can't tell me that's evil.
Listen, it's... My brother is on a misguided quest to save me. Unfortunately, he really can't.
Oh, what a bad guy. Trying to save his sister. I see what you mean.
I think at some point in this conversation, Max would start to walk into the temple kind of slowly and cautiously. At this point, it's awkward that we're all like standing in the doorway.
So as you go through the threshold, nothing seems to happen.
I'm going to go check on Felicity and Jeremy.
Okay. So you're heading in there. Garrett, are you heading in?
Yeah, I'm in.
As both Garrett and Harold kind of get a little ways into the threshold, your head begins to start killing you. It feels awful. What? It's like a migraine that you're having. And you kind of
Max,
you drop
Max, do you feel that?
To your knees.
Oh, this pain, Max.
Oh, the pain, Max.
Max, ooh, pain.
Max gets down on his knees.
Oh.
I'm really sorry. I honestly am.
Can't you see what you're doing to Max?
Is this Craig's doing?
Unfortunately, it's mine.
What? I thought you were supposed to be good.
It's relative, like.
So it's backwards.
Are you familiar with the trolley problem?
That was not a good time, lady.
No, trolleys. I don't know if trolleys exist.
That's a good. Maybe call it the cart problem or
the worm problem.
Okay, are you familiar with the cart problem?
Please stop the pain, ma'am.
I will in a moment, but I'm
not going to listen to a word you say while I'm in this pain.
Selfishly, I need to explain this to you. I hate what I have to do. I hate having to do this to you. You are good people. You are trying to do good. And you've done such good. You've returned the jewel, and you've prevented a horrible evil from being unleashed on the world, and I commend you guys for that. But I both need you to know that I am only doing this because of the danger you represent. If Craig were to find out that you delivered this jewel here, and that I'm still at least alive enough to interfere with the demon's plans and have the lesser part of his soul stored away, it is very bad. The pain that pride was able to inflict on the world is nothing compared to what lies can do. You must understand.
Like how you lied to us.
I didn't catch any of that. I'm just seething in pain.
We already told a lot of people we delivered this jewel.
We won't tell Craig, I promise. Just let us go.
Garrett, I think it's time for Plan S.
Oh, yes.
As you are talking to one another, she begins to swirl a fiery sphere in her hands.
Garrett, quick, stab me with a soul arrow.
So I'm going to give you each the chance to do one reaction right now.
Yeah, I'm going to open up the box with my potted pitcher plant, and he's going to jump out and try to stop her from casting a spell.
Okay.
I'm not going to do this, but it would be funny if I injected Harold into a soul arrow and just shot him out of here.
Honestly, like, if that's what you want to do, you can try that.
I don't know. That would be hilarious. You could put Harold into a young person's body.
Save Harold.
I thought soul arrows were temporary, though.
They are. Yeah, that's a funny
thing. Yeah, maybe that doesn't work. Yeah. Harold's going to pull out a picture of Marjorie and his children and just sort of weep through the pain and whisper to them how much he loves them. I'm sorry, Poppy. I won't be able to make it back to you. Looks like old Harold's finally passing on. That's his reaction, Jed.
Yeah. Aww.
Jesus.
That's sad.
All right, my turn.
I've been
through a lot of battles, and I've had my fair share of sucking other people in the soul arrows.
Yeah.
But now it's my time.
Ooh.
And I always knew this would be my fate, guys.
He pulls out a gold soul arrow, the best of them all.
Oh, man.
And I stab my heart with it.
God. Okay.
Be sure to put me in something good.
As you stab your heart in it, die, I guess.
No, I get sucked into the soul there.
You die, but your soul goes into the arrow itself. Like, there's this kind of mist that kind of comes out of your body into the arrow, and now you lie dead on the ground.
I throw away my family portrait, and I go cradle Garrett.
you pick up my mask.
He puts it in his bag.
Finally!
Into the bag you go.
I put Garrett's arrow in my bag.
Max, roll for the attack.
All right.
Of your potted pitcher.
That'd be funny if he kills her. Everything's fine.
Whoops.
That's a 17.
A 17? Yeah, he flings at her, distracting her briefly. The ball of energy, or the flaming sphere, she's still conjuring it, but she loses focus to kind of jut a bolt of flame at Patrick to knock him aside.
No.
Quick, Max, into my bag. It's your only hope.
You know,
Max, as you are no longer affected by the Geos, you can move completely freely.
Yeah.
Take Garrett's arrow and swim to Slappy Joe.
That's pretty tempting, actually. particularly seeing our three companions who personally Max felt were competent and skillful. You know, we worked with them for several weeks, and they all just failed immediately.
Who had the Jewel of the Desert?
Harold.
Okay.
In his bag.
Oh, yeah.
In the bag.
In the bag, yeah. Max is going to shed a tearful eye and say goodbye to Patrick as he leaps into the bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you
goodbye,
jump.
Goodbye, my old friend. I'm sorry.
You're able, with Patrick's distraction, you're able to jump into the bag. What does Harold do?
I do want to grab, I guess, are you tossing the arrow in, or I want to either grab the arrow or whatever? I guess I didn't see that.
Yeah, I hand it off to you like a baton.
But in the moment, it ends up in my hand, I suppose.
Yes.
As I climb into the bag. And
yes, you have Garrett on in tow.
Vanish away.
As you do that, Harold, Mesa turns to you, and a beam of fiery light erupts from that sphere.
I deflect it.
Heading directly to you. Make a save Dexterity save.
I'm a firebender.
Okay, that's a 5.
Okay.
I don't try to dodge. I stand in the way to protect my friends.
Yeah, you managed to kind of like jump into it like Piccolo did for Gohan in front of the bag.
Holding Patrick in front of me.
The beam hits you, and as it does, your whole body turns to ash.
Holy shit.
Harold.
Like a phoenix.
Your body turns to ash on the ground, but as you are falling to ash...
Strike me down, and I will become more powerful than you could...
that ring on your finger, the one that you couldn't see, snaps.
Wait, what ring?
You put a ring on your finger a long time ago. You pulled it out of your bag. You thought it was a...
Oh, outside of Slappy curse Joe's, right?
Outside of Slappy Joe's.
The one that protected me from his curse.
The one that you think protected you from his curse.
You are cursed.
That ring shatters.
No!
You wake up naked in Slappy Joe's Inn.
Holy shit.
And that's where we're going to leave it.
Wow. What can you say about that? That was one hell of a finale to Jet's arc in Season 3 of the Battle Buddies. Are they dead? Are they reborn like a phoenix? What's going on? Who knows? Find out on the next episode. Apologies for a few things, really. Sorry about the weird schedule. Things have been a little out of hand. I've already mentioned this in previous episodes, but we're getting things back on track. So thank you for your patience. And sorry for the wonky audio in this episode. Sometimes things happen. You got to use the backup audio and it just doesn't sound as good. But we got there. We made it. Yay! Jet's arc is over. Woo! So now Steven can take over and carry on with the next part of the story. What's going to happen? Who's the party going to be? Who knows? Won't know until next time. Anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you, Caitlin Conroy, for the theme song, and thank you for tuning in to our next episode, which will be out June 23rd. See you then.